The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Hey guys, welcome into episode 28 of Coffee and Shell. I am No Sleeves, your host, joined by my co-host, Kesso Paguni, fresh off a successful Gaming World Championship weekend. My man, it has been a week, and we've got a lot to discuss. This is going to be a very GWC-centric episode. So if you're not competing or you don't care, I apologize. But here we go. All right, walk me through your weekend, my man.
Dude, it was my birthday yesterday. I turned a big 2-9. I got, 1 year left
bad
in the
on
20s.
My part. I'm going to interrupt you already. We'll start the counter at one. Bad on my part. I thought you were joking when you said it was your birthday for some reason. Because I thought someone just in chat was like, yo, happy birthday, Kesso, and everyone just ran with it. So that's on me. Happy birthday. Yeah. And I also thought you turned 30. So just another L for me.
Dude, we took Bella to see the Easter Bunny at the pet store. She is not scared of anything, but she was frightened of the Easter Bunny. She wasn't about that life. What else happened? And then I just went like with my wife and my friends and stuff to Dave and Buster's last night. I'm assuming you guys have Dave and Buster's in Canada.
So it's like very limited. We have one Dave and Buster's, in Niagara Falls, right on the hill, Clifton Hill, like the main portion when you go to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, it's not very big at all. My wife actually worked at Dave and Buster's on the hill.
Okay. That's kind of funny. Dude, so listen, man, I'm good at video games, right? You get me in a Dave and Buster's, it's like stealing money. There's this one game with like the jackpot was like up, but like high or whatever, because like nobody had hit it. I went in there third attempt. You had to like time these like, little red balls to fall into this hoop. And you had to like figure out the timing. So it was like you tap four times quickly, wait for it to go around, tap four times again, hit it on my third attempt. But professional gamer goes into Dave and Buster's. It's just like easy.
I need CJ in here, and I don't think he's in here because we were talking. Chat was asking me, that me and Chat have talked. We've grown quite a bit over the last 237 hours. They asked me what is something that you're extremely good at that is completely random. And, sad story. I was like, I don't really think there's anything I'm really good at. But then I remembered. So there's this shooting game that had to have been made in 1988. Okay. And all it is it take you, you, it has like a revolver that looks like a Super Nintendo, like the old gun from Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And basically it's free. And you shoot at cups. Right. And what's cool is that the cups are like attached to wire or whatever. And like they'll explode when you hit the sensor. OK.
Yeah.
And I Funny, so when I was like 21, I go down to the falls and there's a place called Boston Pizza where everyone goes from 19 to 21 if you are from Niagara Falls. Spend every weekend there. Me and my buddies, we'd take $20, we'd get tokens because the Boston Pizza wasn't just a bar, had tons of pool tables, a bowling alley, a bunch of other arcade games, and that's just where everyone went to drink. So it's, this one isn't like all other normal ones. It's, again, it's special because it's on the falls. So this one game, we would spend $20 each, and it would be one token to play because this thing was just like archaic. Like it's easily from, I would, if I had to bet 1993, that would be my guess. Okay. And we became so good at that every single night, all we would do is we would get the top 10 scores. Like we would knock out everyone that was in the top 10 scores, and me and him would just be the full thing. So,
and you would fill up the 1 through 10 spot.
Yes. So me, so I, in the summertime, I go to Philadelphia to visit CJ with Junior Pens and John Wayne, and we're in Philly and we go to this barcade and I'm looking around and sure enough, this game I could not believe is staring me in the face. So I'm like, oh dude, I gotta play this game. I'm the best in the world at it. And they're like, I'm trying to find the video because I swear I just talked to Cam about it. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. second try broke the record that was currently on the game. And I was just like, dude, you know, it's like riding a bike. And I hadn't played it in like 7 years, like the last time. Yeah. I was down in the falls. But I was just like that. It made me laugh anyway. So I'm glad you had to get. Why did you take the pup to go like
okay. My wife saw the thing advertised and she's like, oh, we got to take Bella to see the Easter Bunny. It was one of those things, you know.
Yeah. Where did you give any fight back to it?
No. So there were two options, right? So
okay.
There is a mall near me.
Okay.
It's the Monroeville Mall. Anybody in Pittsburgh knows what the Monroeville Mall is. There are like random shootings there, like stabbings and stuff. And there is going to be an Easter Bunny at the mall on Monday. And I was like, we are not going. I refuse to go into this mall because I'm like, I like my life a lot. And I don't want to be like one of those people in like a news story. Like there's three victims. One of them, age 29, Queso Pagoni, dies in a shoot. Like I just have too much to lose for that. So I'm like, nope, we're not going there. So it was Saturday was the next option for the Easter Bunny at the pet store. So I'm like, I'll go to that one. So she lets, dude, and I feel like, and you understand this too in your marriage, because you've been streaming for 200 hours. There's give and take, right? There's give and take in the relationship. And right now, Skyla has all the pull in this relationship for you, right?
Oh, yeah. Like after this is done, like I pretty much have to do everything she says.
Yeah. So my wife's amazing. Like I'm sitting here like today, like streaming for like 3 or 4 hours, like playing NHL, like playing scrim games and stuff. And she like cleaned the whole house. So like if that's the give and take, which she gets the worst part of it because I'm just a lazy asshole, then mm-hmm. that's what it is, you know. So I'll say yes to whatever.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I respect that. I didn't know like that was like are you going to go take Bella to see like Santa Claus?
I guess so.
Bro, if I took someone to see Santa Claus, it would be a 4-alarm disaster. Like the beard would be just getting ripped apart. Like I took some, I don't know if you saw this, but on the stream, because I just need, it's the stream is so long now that I just have to try and live life. It's basically what it's turned into.
Yeah.
So Scott was like, Scott's also never been in my chat more. She's slowly like, she wants to stream, I think, or be on stream, because I'll catch her like coming in my room more and like, you know, like in chat. Did she, she has been in my chat more in this one in the last 10 days than she has been in the 5 years prior combined. So she's like, let's go to DQ. Chat says, let's go to DQ. So I was like, okay, let's go to DQ, road trip. Right. So I bring stream with us. We bring Summer with us and she had a pup cone. So like in the truck, she got her vanilla ice cream with a cone and a dog treat on top. It was fun. But yeah, she just barks way too much. Like she's just a big, big girl, I guess. I don't know. But
dude, there was almost a brawl in my house last week over a pup cup from DQ.
Between Henry?
Between Henry and Bella. Because Bella can go with us and Henry can't. So we go. And we bring Bella to DQ and we get her a pup cup and we come back and we're like, oh no, we forgot to get one for Henry. So
dude, she's eating, awful.
I know, she's eating in the corner and he just looks at her And he does this like as fast as he can go. He does like this little charge at her because he sees her eating ice cream. And we're like, okay, like we'll separate you guys. Like, so we took her downstairs. We gave her the pup cup. And then, you know, those little like ice cream cups you get in the hospital.
Yeah.
You can buy them at the store. Yeah, you can buy them at the store. So we bought Henry like 20 of those and we just keep them in the freezer. And we gave him one of those and we take it out of the little cup and he literally just like eats it in one bite. Like, I don't know if pigs can get brain freeze, but I'd assume he had to have.
I got to ask the hard hitting questions that chat wants to know. Do pigs have teeth?
Yeah. Yeah. And they go through like 3 or 4 sets in their life.
Are they sharp or blunt?
His are kind of like messed up, dude. They're like one's like crooked, going like 90 degrees. There's a little sharpness to them, but he doesn't use them too much.
Like you need it. Like you need pig braces.
I guess so. We don't have pig insurance, but you know, if we did, I guess we would pay for it.
Fair enough. Okay. Anything else going on in life or do we got to get right into GWC?
We can get in the GWC. I don't think anything's going. Listen, I do have a movie suggestion for you, though, before we move on, because I rewatched Gattaca. Have you ever watched Gattaca?
Dog, your cinematic, recommendations, I got a feel that maybe 10% of our audience know that Amazon show you hit us with the other day. Like no one.
Dude, no,
that.
You know what I think it is? No, you know what I think it is? You guys just aren't cultured.
Tell me you're about to say we're not cultured.
Ethan Hawke. So somebody in the chat, Sparrow the Hero, knows it. 1997. I think it's in my top 2 movies, but we'll go on to the next topic. I'm not going to bore you guys with Gattaca.
Top 2.
I think it is. It's about, it has so many quotable moments. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
It's phenomenal.
I didn't mean to shit on your thing. I was just saying that I mean, maybe I've heard of that. Okay, what's your top 1?
Dude, my favorite one is it's Midnight in Paris. It's this movie with Owen Wilson and Rachel McAdams.
I love Owen Wilson.
I could rewatch it. Dude, Owen Wilson's great.
I just watched Wedding. Dude, like, I feel like we went through the glory day of like comedies with like Wedding Crashers and like Superbad. Like those were just like.
Yep.
All right, give me a. So is that like a? That's a funny movie, right?
Midnight in Paris. No, yeah. No. It's like there's some humor in there. It's like a romance kind of, I guess. I don't know. It's like a Woody Allen type movie. Did Woody Allen do the movie? Woody Allen might have done the movie. Apparently I like Canceled People too. Cause I had the Louis C.K. recommendation last week. I have the Woody Allen one this week.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Woody Allen.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Sparrow the Hero. Hero is dude, this guy knows every movie, so good for him.
He's been the MVP of the subathon. He is
brutal. I see it, 600 subs. But dude, so you are right about the like that golden era of comedy. I know there's like older people that are probably like, oh no, the 70s with
funny.
Like
yeah.
Like Monty Python and stuff, but like you can't make those movies anymore because like the money's not there for the movie companies, right? Because it's like only superhero movies do well in the theaters. And then there's no room for like these smaller, like mid-budget movies. So
no, for sure.
Yeah.
No, for sure. Yeah. Cause like those, like even like Dodgeball, like that, like, you know, like those mid 2000s, I think it was just like, it was really, really good. I'm not big in comedies anymore, man. Maybe just don't like laughing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, I was watching a lot of like yesterday I started watching, I talked about this so much last week, but I was watching, like House of Cards. I just love watching like, and that's like such a dark show too. So I don't know.
How do you feel though? Like you've been streaming for 2 hours. What can you possibly talk to me about at this point that you haven't talked about for the last 200 hours on stream? I couldn't imagine like what you're going through right now.
It is something else. Yeah. Like I've got to say, I don't think I'll ever experience this again because if I do, I'll do a subathon again when NHL comes out. Right.
Yeah.
Because I think it's fun and I think it's unique. And I think when a new game comes out, it's very easy because like, you can't do this if you don't have a game that you are just like into, right? Like you can't. I will not set it at 6 minutes a sub because my community is just apparently way too generous and 6 minutes is bonkers. So
you short sold yourself there a little bit. I think you're like, yeah.
My goal was not the money or the subs. It was just to make a name for myself in the MLB community, which I think I've done. I've gotten rated by some of the guys that I look up to in the MLB community. And so clearly they're taking notice a little bit and I've been pretty high in the directory. So that's been fun. So like, yeah, I'll definitely make some adjustments. Something I've really liked more of is like reaction content, man. Like,
yeah, because you've been doing that with Cartnarks, right?
Yeah, like I can't. Yeah, because like you can't simply just play a game for this long. Like I've literally been streaming for 230 hours or plus. Yeah. And a lot of it's sleeping. Like I'm starting to sleep more on stream. Like yesterday, I went to bed at like 3 and I woke up at like 11.
Dude, I saw that because I logged on this morning and I started up my stream at like 11:30 or something. But like I looked earlier and you were sleeping at like 11. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah, like I do this a lot. Maybe, I don't know if you do this, but I think it's because I stare at a screen so long. So like your brain will not stop. If you fall asleep watching TV, you probably suffer from this too. Or your phone. I will fall asleep for like 45 minutes to an hour maybe. And then I wake up and I can't go back to bed. Yeah. So that happened. I went to bed at like 2:30 after UFC last night. And then I like woke up at like 3:30, 3:45. And then I was up to like 4:30 or 5. And then I finally fell asleep. And I missed my bed a little bit. I'm sleeping. I have a really nice couch, so I'm not upset about it. But yeah, like, so last night I did a UFC watch party. And I'm not super big on watch parties, but like, I feel like you got to gamble on the games that you're watching. So I have known nothing about UFC. And I just wanted to see like a good old fashioned scrap. And there was a couple of good ones. So we had some money on around and like, yo, I was losing my shit. Chat seemed to enjoy it. So I think it's something I'll definitely do again. Also, yeah, so I've been watching a lot of Cartnarks, which is hilarious. Chat really likes that. I've reached out to the Cartnark, Agent Sebastian, to do a cameo for my sub alert. He said no. But, you know, maybe in the future, I was like, yo, I'll give you $300 to do my sub alert. And he said, oh, we don't do that at this time. I was like, listen here.
I think he takes his profession very serious. And he's not a meme.
Exactly. You know, he's probably at the academy training new recruits. But.
Yeah. I bet you guys have had a lot of Cartnark jokes the past
Watched almost every one. Like, it's hard to find a new one. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so like I've learned some things about content creation. So I created a Reddit. I watched a few streamers I only watched like three or four streamers. Someone else asked me that. Like I equate it to like going back to work.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to watch.
I've heard that
creators.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. I can't, it's just very difficult when I'm done streaming, whatnot, I want away from it. So like the only ones I'll watch in the morning, I'll watch Pestily. He's one of the biggest, if not the biggest content creator for Escape from Tarkov. And he's just like Australian, was in the army, just hilarious. I also watch Dr. Lupo, who I've met in real life. He's a hilarious guy too. And then Josh Fearless is probably the only other one I watch regularly at night, yeah. Who we'll obviously discuss in just a little bit. But the other one I watch is Asmongold. And he is like, he is the classic nerd and lives in your basement, you know, like, you know, long hair, looks like, you know, he hasn't been outside in months, but he leans into it. Like he knows that that's what he's like, but he's got like a million followers on YouTube.
Is he the guy with the white t-shirts?
I don't know if he wears white t-shirts. He might.
Okay. I might be thinking of somebody else.
But anyways, so like what he does to start his streams is he has a Reddit. And his community basically posts stuff on the Reddit, and then he spends about an hour going over all the topics that his community wants to talk about. And I was like, that is a really fun idea. And normally, because I only stream 3 hours a day, I feel like there's no point in me doing that. I just want to play the game. But I really enjoyed just like going over random stuff that my community wants. And I think because my community is smaller, I think it would actually be kind of more fun. So I made a Reddit. So I'm taking over Hut Reddit. It's now canceled. It's done. We are literally going to replace it. So I'm sorry, Reddit Hockey Club. You guys have had your run. It's been nice. You tried to cancel me, and I'm just going to end you. It's Reddit. You know, Hut Reddit is done.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Yep, Hut there Reddit is done. No, I'm just kidding.
The death of Hut.
It's all not. Right. It's not. Oh, dude, actually, click on one of the first posts on it. Talks about the decline in Hut Champ's population. And it's
dude,
amazing.
I see this graph.
Dude, it's right? incredible. Is it the graph? So this person, I think his name is Towel Boot or Towel Bot. Boot,
yeah.
And for anyone that isn't, again, you can go to my Reddit. It's NoSleeps12. That's the Reddit. And one of the first posts, he posted that. And yeah, it's pretty incredible. So he went through and he just scrolled all the way down to find, because it does show the leaderboard, to see how many people were qualifying and playing in Hut Champs every week. And he has like a graph of each week. So the peak was the fourth week, and he says compensation packs. I'm assuming that was when it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So week four would be about a month into the game, which kind of makes sense. And then there's a decline, a pretty steady decline, until about week 10. And then team of the year right around January. So January is the most most played month of NHL, which is very weird for any sport or any sports game. It is not the first. And it was clearly the highest for quite some time. We have the All-Star game and then a steep decline to GWC. And then it is a barren wasteland at MLB. There is less than 2,000 people qualifying for Hut Champs, less than 1,800.
And that, does it say what console that's on?
I believe this one's PS5. Yes, PS5. Okay. So that is probably, yeah. And that's one of the most played consoles. So pretty stunning, not going to lie. Not really surprising at all. And that's unfortunate because the game, it's on life support now. You're never going to be able to sell cards for a lot, so everything's going to be cheap, which is cool. Like, you can buy cards now for super cheap, but there's just not a lot of cards out there. I think that the game, NHL, real quick, well, before we get into the GWC stuff, is like, they don't acknowledge, they pretend that they don't understand the trends of the game aren't happening. Like, so for example, the new master sets that come out, they get more expensive. You know, and while that makes sense because, you know, they're 99 overall cards, you're just basic, like, you know what I mean? Like, your player base is non-existent. It should be very, very accessible to get anything at this point. And I think the EA model of just like, nah, we're good. They'll spend money on packs, you know, and it just reigns supreme. And it's unfortunate. The other thing is that Hut Champs should just be open. There should be no qualifier thing you have to do.
I said that to them back in October.
No, absolutely. It's just an arbitrary thing. Weekend league should just be weekend league. Why do you have to qualify for it? Is it because they want to make it so like it's not competitive, or they want to see make it competitive? Like,
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, in their mind, it's like this exclusive thing to work towards, but it's like there's not enough people in the game.
You know what's funny though? Just as I said that, I don't think that's the reason why. I think it is like, so right now I play Hut Champs. I get 11 wins, literally have 11 wins, everything, and I'll stop. Okay. If I were to go on right now, I can't qualify because I didn't play enough Rivals games the week before.
Yeah. So they want to drive your engagement.
They
to
want
Rivals
you to play Rivals to go in, man. Yeah. Like, it's just
all of it is just to, you know, pump up their whatever metrics they, yeah. And yeah. If not for the sake of fun, and I wish they had some metrics that, like, are you having a good time playing the game?
It's like, how can we make sure that regardless if they're enjoying it, be on the game the most? And that's clearly what it is. Because, like, again, if you ever do a top 20 player that has one time finished in the top five, if they don't play for 3 months, they've got to play Rivals, an arbitrary amount of Rivals to play with Hut Champs again.
Unless you have, like, a ton of those. Dude, my inbox is, like, 40
I've got
cards
like 30
of those.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
No, I know what you mean, though.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's just
I didn't play a Hut Champ game. This, I think now it's over.
You can't
unless
play
I wanted
it, no.
to. Yeah, unless I wanted to decide at some point, like, oh, maybe it'd be fun to play with like a truculence team in 2 months. Like,
that's all I'm going to do. It'll be theme teams and whatever, and that won't happen really until MLB has gone so well for me that, and I'm having so much fun with it. And they're like, so tonight, right before we record this, I got super pissed off because I lost a game that, again, so like, I feel like I can teach someone to be better at NHL, but like, I don't have like the skills required to make myself much better than I am. Like, a better teacher than a coach, or a better teacher than a player. MLB, I'm literally in this game against this guy. Doesn't have an impressive record at all, okay? And he hasn't hit me at all. And he is legitimately throwing the same pitch over and over again. And I'm before he's pitching, I'm saying slider inside, fastball away, circle change, bottom right. Did it for 4 at bats. Legitimately could not get the PCI. I literally lost 1-0, and I could not hit these pitches. And it's not like they were, you know, overpowering, but like, as mad as I was at that situation, it is legitimately my fault.
Is it because first off, it's really hard to do that with the reaction time with that PCI. Is it just like you couldn't do it yourself?
Yeah, like be honest, like I think that understanding and watching trends is a skill that you have to develop. Like I said, so like when I watch or when I'm playing the game, when I'm engaged, like when I'm trying to tell Chad and like teach Chad some things, like I will literally be like, this is going to be a fastball up and in. And it almost will, and I'll be able to tell you what it is, because when you play nine innings, you pitch so much that you'll just fall into this, like, this rhythm, right? And the really good players, they bust that rhythm consistently so that you're looking low inside, but it goes high upstairs. Like, it's a lot of it, right? And I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about sports games this year, but last year I was much better at MLB than I am right now. And I can't tell you why. And same thing with NHL. I was much better.
You're a year older.
Maybe that's it. Maybe the thumb.
It's that. And you've been on stream for 230 hours.
This is not a game that you can play when you're impatient, which is another crazy wrinkle of the game that I think is unbelievable. You can play NHL mad. Like, you can play and still win and whatever. Maybe you chase and you give up goals and whatnot. But for the most part, you can do that. If you play mad and impatient in MLB and you get a guy that's really good, you're just getting changeups in the dirt or fastballs up and in. And you will not be able to, unless you relax and just kind of assess the situation. But, okay. Let's discuss GWC. So GWC this weekend, guys, Xbox One and Xbox Series X went on Saturday. PS4 and PS5 qualifiers went on Sunday. This included the round of 64 and the round of 32. So the round of 64 was to actually determine what players were representing each team on each console. So there was 4 Vegas Golden Knight representatives. There was 4 Pittsburgh Penguin representatives. And then the very next round was played immediately. And it was like the Pittsburgh Penguins rep versus the Vegas Golden Knights rep or whatever. So now there's only 16 players left in on each console. Kesso is one of them, which we will discuss. But let's quickly, and I mean quickly, address the banning and the situation that took place on Friday. So you want to give it like a synopsis?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, how do you even give a synopsis to that? Some kids and some adults have said some bad things either in the past 5 days or 5 years. Those screenshots or clips have been saved for that duration of time. Those clips or videos or screenshots were sent to the NHL, Chris, whatever his name
Collier,
is.
Yep.
So they were sent there. The people in those screenshots, not every one of them, but some of them were given lifetime bans from competing in the GWC. Some of those screenshots were like literally from a kid, I think that was 14 or 15 at the time, that said something awful. There's no path to redemption. Kids aren't allowed to learn from their mistakes, it seems, in my opinion, at least. I think it's kind of dumb myself, because I know I'm lucky. I'm 29 now, right? So like a lot of the stupid stuff I said on the internet or on like Xbox Live messages in 2008 just aren't there, right? Because if they were, I'd probably be banned from the GWC tournament. And it's also weird because it's like picking and choosing who's banned, because there's also some good players that could probably be banned under those same circumstances. So I'm not sure why some are banned and some aren't. I think it's either everything's okay or nothing's okay, right? But picking and choosing who's banned is kind of weird to me. I don't know what else to say. It's like frustrating.
I had a hard time like addressing this because, someone that was Josh Fearless is a friend of mine, and obviously you can't be biased towards it. Anyone that got banned was banned for a reason that, if you think of it from a business standpoint, makes sense. You don't want someone representing you that there's a clip out there or the messages out there they said, and I totally understand that. So from the standpoint of them being banned, okay. If that is going to be the case, anyone that has a damning message that has not gone through the process of redeeming themselves should be banned in that sense. And then, I think the main issue is that lifetime ban thing. The fact that it's a lifetime ban means that there is no path to redemption at all. And I don't agree with that at all. I can agree with banning, you know, it's their right. You know, I feel like a lot of people think that play this game think that it's their right to play in the GWC. It's like, it's a tournament run by the NHL. They have sponsors like Honda, and you know, the payoff does not reflect enough of a major news agency making that a story. Right. It does not. Right. So I totally understand. And not to mention, like, they just don't want that being a representation of what they are putting on. So I totally get that. However, People have asked, like, what do you do? I'll be honest. One of the people that got banned asked me, what do I do so that I can play in the GBC in the future? This is exactly what I told them. And for anyone out there that has a message or something out there, here's what I recommend doing as someone that literally does this for a living. I would publicly apologize for what you said. You need to address it. You can't just ignore it. Or it's never going to go away entirely. You're always going to get trolls that will throw it in your face. But what you need to do is address it and not hide from it and say, I said this. This does not reflect what I actually think. I used a very poor choice of words, and I was immature, and I will not do that again. Next, delete any of your social media from prior. Make sure that tweet is deleted or anything like that. Everything needs to be, I would go through all of your social media, make sure that's deleted. And that's not to hide stuff. That's to show that you've wiped out anything that, you know, because that's not you anymore. And then third, don't be a bad person. If you go an entire year on social media, you're still just continuing on doing, like, you know, you're in the community, you're playing competitively or whatnot. Don't say bad stuff. Don't get caught saying messages. That's it. Right. And if you do that, and, you know, you go back and you say, hey, I'm not that person anymore. That doesn't reflect, you know, what I think. Maybe that. But apparently if it is a lifetime ban, that's unfortunate. So but nonetheless, a few people got banned, and we got to this point on the weekend, and we saw the four console issue. I think we're seeing the issue of it being separated into four consoles. So why don't we talk about where do you want to start with this?
Yeah, I mean, we can start there. So like I have the brackets pulled up for all four mm-hmm. consoles, right, to where they currently stand.
Yep.
And there's 16 people left on each console. Obviously, those 16, those groups of 16 are broken down into four separate brackets on each console. And those, you know, the people that win their, you know, four person bracket will reach the final four on a console. That's when you reach the draft stage, right? So yeah. I have the good fortune of being in a bracket with Regs, Saphir, and Kush, right? So arguably the best player in the world. I would put Saphir, with how he's playing, as arguably a top 5 to 6 player. And then Kush is a really good player that could easily upset Regs, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I see that, right? And I'm not going to lie, like, I'm kind of angry because it's like I have to play the best player in the world potentially. And overall, this is the final 64 of the, you know, complete GWC.
Yeah, when there's only 64 left.
There's only 64 left when you factor in all four consoles.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. Then I see the PlayStation 4 bracket, which is like, I don't know if there's like, there's Gaimer and there's Guav, right? I don't think, and then there's Uninstall, who made the top 8 last year. Uninstall's a great player. I believe he made the top 8. I could be wrong.
I think so. Yeah, I think he lost to Josh.
Yeah, but there's like, outside of that, the top 8 of that side, you have your boy Frank, who's not really like I think he's a solid player. And then you have people like I've never heard of. And it's like one of these guys is going to Montreal to play for, you know, their portion of
I've got the bracket pulled up on the video. So if you're watching on YouTube, we can kind of show you guys. So this is the bracket that was at the 32. These are the 16 remaining. They'll play in 2 weeks. But then all they've got to do is the final four here. So the winner of this match of 26 and or 25 and 26 will go here, and that will be the final four. The final four of the next console is what you got to get to, and there's kind of like a reset where you go into like a draft, right? And the draft happens, and you're no longer using your own team. You're using your drafted team. Everyone's on an even playing field, all of that. And yeah, so I'm going to, again, for anyone that doesn't follow the GWC, I just want to talk about it real quick from an esports fan. I've covered pretty much every esports event there has been in the last 3 years. I know almost everyone here, and there isn't one person so in match 29, okay, match 29, you are guaranteeing two people in the final four, and then in the final four of each console, two people will go to Montreal, okay? It's a best, once you get to the final four of this, you draft your team, and then it's a best of three double elimination, so pretty big. The other series leading up to it, it's a best of one, but or sorry, it's a best of three single elimination. So as you look here, Mivian's, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what happened today to him. He lost to someone named Touchline Sniper, who I have legitimately never heard of. No disrespect to him. I think he might be a West person, a player that plays West. That being said, he had a, in my opinion, a cakewalk with his skill level to go to at least play to go to Montreal. And now you are going to end up with one of or two of Touchline Sniper, AO Dugues, A Pine, Titinien, your boy Frank, Schmidt, O'Crosby, and Carbs. And the issue with that, I like seeing new players. I really like seeing new players kind of make a name for themselves, much like Nuke. That's the kind of the quintessential player because he legit made a name for himself and was so good at the game that he became like famous in the community for it, right? Maybe one of these guys becomes that, but the odds I don't think are strong. Titinien used to be like a leaderboard warrior. Like he used to be really good at versus. So I'd like to see how he does. And your boy Frank did qualify for GWC last year. And it, again, it's not to slight them as players. If you get this stage of the GWC, you're a good player. You know, like there's no way around. You can't say that they're bad players. But when you think about the Montreal tournament or when you make it to Montreal, as someone who has broadcast the GWC, I want to see the best. And I'll give you a perfect example of why that is so important. When in the first round, again, the first round was random. CJ, good friend of both of us, CJ142 NHL, he had to go up against John Wayne. So these two have played before, and that was their first round matchup. John won game one by one. The second game went to four overtimes. And Cam won, and there was a clear breakaway, a penalty shot in OT. I was doing a watch party for it. Chat was losing their mind, so was I. Like, it was just really fun. Like, really fun to see this game played at a competitive level, and I think it's refreshing. Even though you're not competing in it, it's fun to watch it with no stress for you. Like, there's something to that, because you grind all year, and you're like, you know, it's kind of exhausting, like just constantly having to be on. But now once you get knocked or if you just you enjoy the game, watching these kids play to try and get further in the tournament, it's just fun to watch like goalies make insane saves or them missing passes. Like it was really good. Corey Perry won in HK. Corey Perry won, got his revenge on HK from last year. So like, again, it was kind of fun. And then, yeah, the PS4 side, when you go down to the bottom, all like the three, even Gaev is good, but Geimer and Uninstall, looking at it, are like the only two that like I would consider if they made Montreal like okay. Do you know what I mean?
I would too, because I think, I mean, somebody like Uninstall last year, I thought like he finished in the top eight. He was like a top eight player easily. He gave me the most trouble out of almost anybody I played last year. Like I had closer games against like Regs and Gren. And it's, that's just because like how matchups are and stuff sometimes in the game. But Uninstall is an amazing player. So I think he walks away with that PS4.
And the reason I want to make this very clear, the reason why I think that I want it to be them. Again, I am all about new players coming in and making a story. When you have to broadcast and watch someone like, let's say, Touchline Sniper. Let's say he plays extremely well, gets the bounces, and he makes Montreal. First game, he goes up against Gren. More than likely, that for someone who has never made it far in a tournament, how nervous they're going to be regardless, and then they have to go up against more than likely the other. There's going to be six people in Montreal that are pretty seasoned vets when it comes to tournaments and things like that. It's just like, man, like it's going to be like 9-1 or something. And that's just awfully tough. Right?
And then no lag either because it'll be live.
It's a tough watch.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
It is a tough, tough watch. And and that's the only thing that like is unfortunate about the event. So what I would like to see in a perfect world for the GWC, I think there should be 32 team-based tournaments throughout the year. And if you qualify and you win, you're the representative for that team.
I mean, it's almost like I know that's not what they did last year. It's still online, but last year's format for this was just so much better.
It was. Now there was no four consoles, and I think that's what changed everything. And that's not an NHL like problem. That's an EA Sports problem. EA Sports made the game worse, and they had to deal with that for this tournament. But yeah, like it is awfully tough. Like, because you're right, there was four people qualified for each club. And they had a little mini tournament to find out the club champion, and then the club champion went on, right?
Yep.
But yeah, now it's, it feels to me, and I've been a part of the GWC since year two, year one, I was not, it feels like outside factors have impacted this tournament so much so that every year it's like they have to figure something out. And it's unfortunate because I think that they, I think had COVID not happened, I think the tournament would have been in a really good spot because from what I was hearing, there was potential of it like going to like, you know, 32 team based tournaments. I think that might have been the original idea or thought. And obviously with COVID, every team doesn't have the resources and to kind of run that. And then EA comes out with NHL 22 and it's four different consoles. And the argument is like, it should just be on next gen. That's where all the top players play. Totally understand that. But again, not your right to play in the tournament. It's not your right to have the GWC. The NHL is about inclusivity, right? Yeah. So like you have like, so like from a standpoint of like how the league looks and how they want to run their tournament, they have to allow people that can't, you know, get have access, right? They can't have access to the new consoles. And it was pretty tough to get new consoles.
I get that. And that's definitely true, right? But it is also funny to see, like, the people that are going to win on PS4 and Xbox One have the new consoles. They're just
that's
playing on,
That's ridiculous. Mean? Yes, that's manipulating, yeah.
And then there's also the chance, very low likelihood, Montreal's going to have the top eight, right?
Yep.
There could be four people repping the same team.
Also true.
That's also stupid. True. I'm sorry. That's just dumb.
It is. Like, it is a very low chance. But yeah, you could potentially. Yeah,
there's probably going to be at least one double.
I would think. I mean, I haven't even looked at who is the reps. Just like I haven't looked at the double reps because yeah, now you're at a point. Each console has a club rep, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so the old gen console. I hope next year. I don't know. Hopefully, there's cross console. That eliminates this, but this, God, like, the odds are at 20%.
As somebody that's like loved this tournament for a while, and I never did good in it until like last year. This year, it's just like kind of lost its luster for me between all the outside factors, like you mentioned, the four consoles. I was literally at like my low point mentally playing this game, especially this past week. Like every single time I played it, I was just like in a bad mood. Like mm-hmm. I was like, I don't like the gameplay right now. I don't like the fact that if I even want to like make it, I have to play like the first and second seed almost just to make it to like the draft, not even make it to Montreal, which is fine. Like I get that that's like outside my control. I just want to see some actual like seedings, you know, I want to see some like ELO throughout the year.
Yep, I would love that.
Something. And also, like, you're going to have to, like, so Gren has a high chance, I think, to make it, like you said, right?
Yeah, as before we started recording and talking about Gren, he was the North American champion last year on PS5. And while Kesso has Saphir and then the winner of Regs and Kushni, you know, that's pretty daunting. And then after that, you're going to probably get Keeks or Pens. Like, there's a strong possibility you go Saphir, Regs, Pens.
Those are reseeded. That final four is reseeded.
The five final four is, yes. And you, I think it's a round robin. I think it's a double Olympic best of three, right? So you have multiple chances there, but that's what you're going to have to play. Whereas the bottom portion of this bracket, a few of the people are in chat, we've got Meso and Aves, both players that I think have exceptional talent in the game. They've never proven it in the GWC. So like, I think that there is something to playing when like the lights are the brightest in this game. There's people that struggle with it and people that don't. I'll use an example. John Wayne is someone who whenever the tournament is at its highest and you should be nervous, he always usually finds a way to win. And then you've got Gren, who's going to be playing Mick Skittles and the winner of Sea Bruins and Carrot. Again, no disrespect to those players, but when you compare it to the other side where it's Regs, Saphir, Junior Pens, like essentially, like that's tough. Like, and but you know, that is what it is. And because it should right now, I think, like for players that have the, like if we were to go through and be like, okay, who has a shot at Montreal and who is among the best of this game, not prior games, like who's playing the best of this game, right? You're going to eliminate three or four of them right out of that because of how the bracket is set up, right?
Yeah.
Because it just gets him disappointing. Right. Yeah. And it is disappointing. Yeah. And like the old gen console, there was people that literally manipulated it. For anyone that doesn't know, in December when they announced it was going to be on four consoles, you had about 5 to 10 people that were very, very good players playing on next gen, literally just go back and they play on old gen so that they could have a better shot at GWC. And while that makes sense for them to give themselves the best shot, it completely eliminates the competitiveness of this tournament, right?
Yeah.
However,
and that's why Sleeves, I am just kind of just over this now, yep, right? Like, yep. I don't blame you for being like, ugh,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't blame you because that is going to be a gauntlet for you no matter what. So we'll see. I think there's something else about the GWC I want to talk about. I think we've gotten it for 5 years now that it's just assumed that the tournament's going to be there. And well, it appears that they love making it and doing it and whatnot with all the bannings and whatnot. Part of me thinks that eventually they're going to be like, no, like
I agree.
What happens to Hockey Ultimate Team when that happens? Because there's a lot of people listening that play for fun and they do enjoy the game and building their team and all of that. And I get that, but there is a lot of people that play with the thought in mind that they are going to try and play for the GWC, even if they don't think that they can win. That's like their goal. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I've got something in here, right? Like there's something in there. And I think that's a major problem with a video game. Cause like, you know, I don't know if you think the same or.
I mean, I wouldn't touch it. I didn't play it in the years prior before GWC was put in or before Hutt was used for GWC.
Would you still now because you're a content creator?
I don't think so because it's like my channel's predicated on that, right? Like I'd have to find something else to do. I don't know if I would switch to just chatting streams during like an hour at lunch or something.
Dude loves his card narcs.
Like, all right. Like because then it's like, what am I going to do over the summer too? And whatever I do over the summer here will probably like, if there was no GWC, it'd probably be similar. Cause like, I just enjoy the competitiveness of it. I like matching up against Saphir or Pens and Hutt champs. I like the fact that no matter what, like, We gotta play good because we know at some point there's going to be a GWC bracket. We'll likely play each other. And if there's like none of that, then I think I'm just like out of Hutt, you know?
What would you do? Let's play a game here. Yeah. You had complete autonomy of how the tournament is run. Cross console is a thing. There's no outside that. You have unlimited resources to make this thing as best as possible. What would you do for the GWC?
32 team tournaments throughout the year.
Okay. So each team gets a tournament, any open qualifiers online. You play through that. The one winner of that tournament that's done online is your representative for the GWC at the end of the year.
Yes. Yes. So that's done online, right? Yeah. And you can obviously, it's not like you only pick one team to qualify for, right? So like, realistically, like if they went in alphabetical order, the Arizona Coyotes are the first team that there's like a team tournament Anaheim. For, right? Okay, Anaheim. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know my alphabet.
Way to alphabet, brother.
Yeah. 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 Right. So like, what if hypothetically like Saphir and Gren and like everybody plays in that and they're like, oh, you already tried to qualify. You can't, you know, qualify for anymore. I think once you qualify for a tournament and win, you can't play in any other ones, but then you get 32 team reps, right?
No, absolutely. I think that it should be open to anyone. You can qualify. You can play in every single one. Once you win one, you're out of the fire ones. You are.
Yeah.
Which, again, so like as the year goes along, right, the only issue is about seeding because what happened is people would groove it. But what could happen is what would you do to counter that? Because the first thing that you would do is, let's say Gren gets Anaheim, right? Yeah. People are then trying to avoid playing Gren. So
people are right. So, and if it's done by division,
it can't be done by division, in my opinion, because then you're getting everyone avoiding the Pacific division.
Okay. You know what I think I would, and I think another idea is that I think no matter what, for those 32 players, you have to have like a live finals with all of them. I think you run like a short season. Everybody plays another player, online, right? So 32 people online, and depending on how they do, that determines the seeding for the live final, but also include a prize pool for that 32 person tournament.
I agree with that. That would be kind of cool. Again, I think we'd get to a point though where it would be grooved, because once things are set and you know where who is performing well in that tournament, there'd be people throwing. Here's my idea. You have four divisions in the NHL, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. What I think should happen is you randomly pull, like you randomly pull teams so that there's no whatever, like there's no, you know, it's, you're down to the top 32. Okay.
Yeah.
You randomly pull players to go in there. And then in that division, so there's set, there'd be eight teams in the each division. It's a each week, each division gets a weekend near the end of the season, and it's a round robin. So that would be the season. It's a round robin that determines the seeding. Okay. And there is a prize pool. So if you win that, let's say you win $1,000, $2,000. Okay. And then, so then you've got a month of those tournaments being run. And then now you have the seeding for the whole event.
Yeah.
I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah, that would be. And it's like, I think you need something to where it's like people are incentivized to play throughout the year and not just like, I qualified this first weekend for the Anaheim Ducks. I'm not going to play the game until March.
Well, it needs to stay HUT then.
It
needs to stay Hockey Ultimate Team then, because if it, there's no other way around that, right? Like maybe a salary cap.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a given in any of our like hypotheticals, is that it sucks that we have to say that that's a given, but like at this point now, like, come on, it's NHL 22 and there's no salary cap.
We're not going restricted to get one, dude. I think it's an EA thing, dude.
I know we're not going. I mean, it's not an EA thing because Madden has it, right? And FIFA has it for their chance. You're right.
We've just fought for it for so long that I don't think that
we're not going to get it.
I'm wondering. Yeah. Like I remember them when they did comp seasons and it was like, they did restrictions like silver players or all lefties and whatnot.
It's all dumb ones. Just give us a real one.
Yeah.
That's actually good. Stop giving us these dumb things. I guess I'm getting angry now.
It wasn't gimmicky, because what ended up happening is that no one played them. Like from an EA standpoint, they have literally informed us that it was not worth the whatever they had to do resources to put these events in. And guys, it is not like Dreamweaver, like just clicking and dragging. Like they still have to code in what everything is going to be for that event. And there just was not any science, but yeah, like if you, so we're going to talk about a lot of MLB over the next few weeks. I know that because you actually enjoy it and I love it. I've been playing it for 200 hours and I'm not sick of it at all. What they do in events, okay, what you'll see is that there will be a restriction. So your overall cannot exceed 89. So you can have a 99 overall player on your team, but that is going to significant. That means you're going to have a gold or a silver on your squad somewhere else to make up for it. And in NHL, it's really easy because all you've got to do, even if you want to load up your third line is like bronze players, so be it, because that line will come out eventually. And the backup goaltender does not come into factor to the rating, because that obviously would be a way to manipulate your overall. And then just do that. Like, I think that would be great for GWC. It would allow players to not have to play the whole year, but enough to min-max their team to qualify. And again, we're talking about people not playing for the rest of the year. That's like 32 teams. So it's not like the player base is gone, right? Like, I just think that for this event, that's what...
Because there's still going to be a ton of people trying to get that 30-second spot, you know? I don't know. I'm just like, I'm getting all fired up now just thinking about how dumb it is that that's not in the game, because it'd be so much better. Wouldn't be pay to win. There'd be strategy and actual team building. I don't know why it hasn't been done. But yeah, Sleeves, I'm a broken record with that stuff. I joined the Game Changer program 2 years ago, right? I think it was 2 years ago. That was the first thing I said. So until I'm out of the Game Changer program, I'll be saying that every month in there.
I think that's something that needs to be addressed with the GWC as well, is when you get to the stage where you're representing a club, it needs to be as much as possible someone who is a fan of that club. So in our scenario, you said there's 32 team-based tournaments, right?
Yeah.
I think what should happen is there should be 32 tournaments. And if you qualify first at the beginning of the year, the problem is that's 32 weeks. So like,
and that's fine, dude. Here's the thing:
32 weeks is more than half the year, though. So like,
then you do four teams at a time, and you only have it 8 weeks.
That's
like,
true.
That's fine. You have like the central divisions, four.
No, but what I'm thinking is that it's no one picks a team. They play, let's say four players of each week get selected, the top four that finish the tournament, they get placed in the top four of that and they're qualified. Then when you go down to the final stage, right, when the tournament enters the team base, the team phase, what could happen is whoever finished number one with the highest goal differential or points earlier on in the year, all of that, they get to choose their club. So like, yeah, if you know Grun likes Dallas, uses Dallas. If Cookie likes Chicago or Columbus, and then they just go down. And if someone picks a team that you're a favorite of, so be it. You'll get as many players that like and enjoy the team that they are representing. So I think that goes a big way too, because if I were to, let's pretend I qualify and I end up winning the Vegas Golden Knights team based tournament, it is very, very publicly known that I'm a San Jose Shark fan.
Yeah.
So why would VGK go over and above to try and promote me as their representative when everyone knows that I've got like 15 Shark jerseys and my entire wall appears like Sharks? You know what I mean? Like, it just, that needs to be changed. And like social interaction from the teams, like they're just,
there's nothing sleeves. I mean, the smartest thing you did was the subathon for MLB, you know, just get out of here. You know, get out of the,
it's scary. NHL. It's scary how good it has gone, because I'm never going anywhere, because like NHL is what I built my whole career on.
It sucks. Like, people always at like, you know, I guess I'm annoyed with the game or whatever, but it's a great game. Not because it's a great game, but because it's hockey. It's a hockey video game, right? And we'll always enjoy those no matter what they do to us.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think I agree with that. I guess I want more for the game, you know?
Yeah.
I complain about the game and that's fine, but that's just because I'm passionate. Like, I enjoy the game. And I've said this before, that like, selfishly, when the game is better, it is better for me. So like, I'm on the same page as everyone. I want the game to be better. I'm so jaded and just like I'm so pessimistic about anything being substantially changed, right? Like, if they were to come out and be like, all right, guys, we've got a salary cap mode, and or if they came out and said there's leaderboards and Rivals and Hut, I would be like, wow. Like, I would actually be stunned.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. They come out, there's a salary cap mode and it's cross console and NHL 23. Have fun. Like, I'd be like, okay, cool. It's the only game I'm playing all year. That'd be great.
You've been playing MLB for a little while. Not a lot of it, but you've played a little bit. And I know that you're enjoying it, right? Give me the thing that you now see in the game that you crave to be in Hut.
Oh, dude, BR mode, obviously. Yeah, you knew I was going to say that, right?
Yeah, I kind of, for some reason, I actually didn't know what you would, but yeah, BR mode is pretty incredible. I like,
because it's, dude, what I love about it, it's fair, right? No matter what, everybody gets to draft a team under the same restrictions.
Yep.
And it's quick. It's 3-inning games. Like, give me one period in NHL. Let me play this quickly. Dude, if NHL had that, like, I'd be playing it all the time.
One period of NHL, win 12 games. Like, that would actually, I mean, that might be too fast. I don't know. I don't know how long. 15 minutes, I think, it probably plays a 3-inning game. Maybe less time than that. I haven't really timed it.
Yeah.
I would say 10 to 15, so maybe two periods. But nonetheless, like,
Maybe it's three 2-minute periods.
Yeah. Like, I think that would be sick. You got to go 12-0. I would love that. And then at the end, if you can go 12-0, you get a guaranteed reward that you see before you go in. I think that's one of the best features of Battle Royale, is that, so in Battle Royale mode, in Hut, or in MLB, sorry, as you go through, there's four rewards you can get. There's a 3-win reward, a 6-win reward, a 9-win reward, and a 12-win reward. And you can lose once, but once you lose twice, your run is over. And when you get to like 2 wins, you see the 3-win card. When you get to 5 wins, you see the 6-win card. So when you get to your 9 wins and you see that Mike Trout, the 400,000 stub overlord card, is your 12-0 reward that you can get for free by just being good at the game, man, the stress and just like fun of that is like, imagine day one, you could get base Connor McDavid or Connor McDavid's X Factor. Like, that'd be great.
And you can trade it too, right?
Oh yeah, dude, you can just sell that thing.
Like, yeah, dude, here's the thing, man. I've opened up about 100 Ultimate Packs on stream this year. All of my Hut Champs rewards, all of my Rivals rewards, opened them all on stream this year. You know, I didn't pull a single MSP all year, not a card that I could sell for over 200K out of all the times I got top 20 this year. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. So you can do that in MLB. You can go 12-0 in BR, get a 400K you know, Mike Trout that's guaranteed NHL, you might get nothing.
Here's what I think is the main issue is that, like, money and time is valued the exact same level. So let's say you're great at the video game, but you don't have time. You can legit log on Sunday night. You've got time to play. You're a great player. Go 12-0, and you have made enough to, like, you can build a team and complete collections by just being good at the game. If you are great at NHL, you are guaranteed nothing. And it's to keep the reason being it's the reason why they went away from those guaranteed hut rewards in NHL 19 and 20. I think it was 19 might have been the last year of it, where you got like top five, got like a 92 overall Shea Weber that you could trade. I think you could trade, right? Yeah, you could.
Yeah, you could. Those were tradable because dude, you can get like a 98 Line A that you could sell for $2 million.
Yep. And it's
and
like,
it was like, there's your team.
Because that's a flex card, right? Like, it's rare. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like just five, and it doesn't have to be that overpowered. You can make it top 100 gets it. But like, it's just, there's none of that now. Getting first is literally just so that you can argue with someone on Twitter that you're better than them. Like, that's the only advantage of getting one in Hut Champs.
Here's another thing I like about MLB that I've enjoyed is those challenges. I guess the programs, I don't know what it is, but it's fun. Like, some of them are like, get a two extra base hits with this guy.
And because it happened on, you know, April 4th, 1999. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why? And we've been saying that for years in Ultimate Team. Why? We had NHL moments in NHL 14, I think. And those weren't that great because I don't know if they ended whenever you completed said thing. Sometimes you have to play a full game.
That's the best part about that, dude.
Yeah. And it puts you right into the situation, right? Like, there could be like, get a power play goal with Ovi, and you only have to play the power play. Like, you don't have to. I don't know. The MLB, and it's easier in MLB because it is moments based. Like, hockey's more fluid. But still, like,
it's tough.
It's tough.
I think that there is just this is the last part of the comparing the two, and like something that when it comes to improving the video game, I am not someone that can code the game. And I realize that the thing about game changers is that we get to see and have like a, you know, a kind of like, sort of like an unfiltered conversation with developers. And we have a better understanding of, like, you know, if when people are just like, just put this in the game, like, you were like, okay, like that would take like a month of a developer's time that they now can't do and go to anyone else. Is that worth it because they have a smaller team? Something that, I'll tell you this, it impacts creating content for two. So creating NHL content as a YouTuber, and like my formula for how I basically started from nothing on 2017 and got to where I am now, was because there is a certain formula that it gets that attracts views in NHL. And it is not the same in MLB. And the reason being is that MLB does a phenomenal job of informing you what the new cards are and hyping them up. And so, for example, a lot of people that are watching this on YouTube or follow me, they follow me because they want to know what the new cards are, if they're good, and how much they are and all that kind of stuff, right? MLB on Twitter, before they come out, it's like this animation graphic busting out that here's the new card that's coming, here is all of its stats, like the information is there and hyped and promoted. So making a video like that on MLB does garbage in comparison, because the viewer of MLB doesn't really need to know, oh, this card has 99 contact, because I already know that, right? So what it ends up being is that it's story-based content. Like, you take a card that's high powered and maybe rare, and you go and debut it in a ranked season game. And that's interesting, and that drives more views than if I were to go and take a new card in NHL at launch. I've done this and done a debut. It's tough because you're recording like when they're on the ice or when you have, it's much more difficult to make, and not a lot of people don't like it. It doesn't get engagement and views for some reason. So I just thought that was interesting. But the social media aspect of MLB is unbelievable, man. Like, it's just so much better, dude. But it looks like Kesso's stuff is crashed. He's not just sitting there frozen. So I'm going to end it because we are at an hour, as there he's gone. So I'll just finish her off here. But guys, thank you. That is going to be it for episode 28 of Coffee and Shell, the podcast. I will see you guys. We'll see you guys next weekend. Maybe I'll still be live on the subathon. So thank you guys again for watching and listening. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.